Blog Talk Radio.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. أن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلوات الله وسلامه عليه. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله تعالى، وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. Really, all praises are due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We praise Him, we thank Him. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. أن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلوات الله وسلامه عليه. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله تعالى، وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. Really, all praises are due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We praise Him, we thank Him, and we seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the evil of our souls and from the evil results of our actions. Verily, the one who Allah Ta'ala guides, there is none who can lead him astray. And the one that Allah Ta'ala causes to go astray because of his misunderstandings, because of him following his whims and his desires, there is none who can guide that individual aright. Point number two in the Aqidah of Al-Imam Sufyan al-Thawri rahimahullah ta'ala, as given to Shu'ayb ibn Harb. Al-Imam Sufyan said, "Wal iman qawlun wa amalun wa niyyah, yazidu wa yanqus, yazidu bil ta'a wa yanqus bil ma'siyah, wa la yajuz al qawl illa bil amal, wa la yajuz al qawl wal amal illa bil niyyah, ولا يجوز القول والعمل والنية إلا بموافقة السنة." Al-Imam Sufyan said, the second point is that Al-Iman is action and statement and niya or intention. It goes up and it goes down. The iman of the believer goes up and it goes down. It fluctuates. It goes up by him obeying Allah, and it goes down when he disobeys Allah. And it is not permissible to make a statement except that the statement should be accompanied with action. Not permissible to make a statement except that that statement should be accompanied with action. And it's not permissible to make a statement and action except that the statement and action should be accompanied by a niyyah. Not permissible to make a statement and to do an action except that they should be accompanied by the niyyah. And it's not permissible to make the statement and the action and the niyyah except that it is in accordance to the sunnah. We'll start all over from the very beginning. An iman is statement and action and niyyah. It goes up and it goes down. It goes up when the servant obeys Allah, and it goes down when the servant disobeys Allah. And it's not permissible to make a statement except that it should be accompanied by action. And it's not permissible to make a statement and an action except that the statement and the action should be accompanied by the niyyah. And it's not permissible to make a statement and an action and the niyyah except that it should be with the sunnah. Inshallah. And then after saying that, now, inshallah, from the very beginning, an iman is statement and action and niyyah, intention. It goes up and it goes down. The iman goes up and down. It goes up when the servant obeys Allah, and it goes down when the servant disobeys Allah. If the iman, ikhwan, is statements and actions and niyyah, these three things, then he says it's not permissible to say a statement except that it should be accompanied by action. And it's not permissible to say, make the statement and to do the action except that they are accompanied by the niyyah. And it's not permissible to do the statement and the action and the niyyah except that those three things should be according to the sunnah. And we can always go back to the tape, inshallah ta'ala, or to the notebook of our brothers who have written it completely to get what we've missed. After that, Sufyan al-Thawri said, or Shu'ayb said to him, فَقُلْتُ لَهُ يَا أَبَا عَبْدِ اللَّهِ وَمَا مُوَافَقَةُ السُّنَّةِ. After that, after hearing this statement, the point number two, Shu'ayb ibn Harb said, O Abu Abdullah, what do you mean by the muwafaqat al-sunnah? What do you mean that it should be according to the sunnah? And then that led him into the third point that we'll do next time, inshaAllah ta'ala. In explaining this issue, ikhwan, this issue of an iman, what is an iman, and the issue of it going up and down, again, it's another one of those issues that the deviant went off of the path and they went astray concerning it. Because verily, when you want to read the Quran of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, the actual speech of Allah, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, and alhamdulillahi na'hmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nasta'firuhu wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyi'ati a'malina man yahdihi Allahu fala mudilla lah ومن يضلل فلا هادي له واشهد ان لا اله الا الله وحده لا شريك له واشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله صلوات الله وسلامه عليه اما بعد فان اصدق الحديث كتاب الله تعالى وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى اله وسلم وشر الامور محدثاتها وكل محدثه بدعه وكل بدعة دلالة وكل دلالة في النار. Verily all praises are due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We praise Him and we thank Him and we seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the evil of our souls and from the evil results of our actions. Verily the one who Allah ta'ala guides, there is none who can lead him astray. And the one that Allah ta'ala causes to go astray because of his misunderstandings, because of him following his whims and his desires, there is none who can guide that individual aright. Point number two in the aqidah of al-Imam Sufyan al-Thawri rahimahullah ta'ala, as given to Shu'ayb ibn Harb, Al-Imam Sufyan said, "Wal iman qawlun wa 'amalun wa niyyah. Yazidu wa yanqus. Yazidu bit-ta'a wa yanqusu bil-ma'siyah. Wa la yajuzu al-qawl illa bil-'amal. Wa la yajuzu al-qawl wa al-'amal illa bil-niyyah. Wa la yajuzu al-qawl wa al-'amal wa al-niyyah illa bimawafaqati as-sunnah." Al-Imam Sufyan said, the second point is that al-Iman is action and statement and niyyah or intention. It goes up and it goes down. The Iman of the believer goes up and it goes down, it fluctuates. It goes up by him obeying Allah, and it goes down when he disobeys Allah. And it is not permissible to make a statement except that that statement should be accompanied with action. Not permissible to make a statement except that that statement should be accompanied with action. And it's not permissible to make a statement and action except that the statement and action should be accompanied by a niyyah. Not permissible to make a statement and to do an action except that they should be accompanied by the niyyah. And it's not permissible to make the statement and the action and the niyyah except that it is in accordance to the sunnah. We'll start all over from the very beginning. An iman is statement and action and niyyah. It goes up and it goes down. It goes up when the servant obeys Allah, and it goes down when the servant disobeys Allah. And it's not permissible to make a statement except that it should be accompanied by action. And it's not permissible to make a statement and an action except that the statement and the action should be accompanied by the niyyah. And it's not permissible to make a statement and an action and the niyyah except that it should be with the sunnah. Inshallah. And then after saying that, Now, inshallah, from the very beginning. Al-Iman is statement and action and niyyah, intention. It goes up and it goes down. The Iman goes up and down. It goes up when the servant obeys Allah, and it goes down when the servant disobeys Allah. If the Iman, ikhwan, is statements and actions and niyyah, these three things, then he says, it's not permissible to say a statement except that it should be accompanied by action. And it's not permissible to say, make the statement and to do the action except that they are accompanied by the niyyah. And it's not permissible to do the statement and the action and the niyyah except that those three things should be according to the sunnah. And we can always go back to the tape, inshallah ta'ala, or to the notebook of our brothers who have written it completely to get what we've missed. After that, Sufyan al-Thawri said, or Shu'ayb said to him, فَقُلْتُ لَهُ يَا أَبَا عَبْدِ اللَّهِ وَمَا مُوَافَقَةُ السُّنَّةِ. After that, after hearing this statement, the point number two, Shu'ayb ibn Harb said, Abu Abdullah, what do you mean by the مُوَافَقَةُ السُّنَّةِ? What do you mean that it should be according to the sunnah? And then that led him into the third point that we'll do next time, inshaAllah ta'ala. In explaining this issue, Ikhwan, this issue of an iman, what is an iman, and the issue of it going up and down, again, it's another one of those issues that the deviant went off of the path and they went astray concerning it. Because verily, when you want to read the Quran of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, the actual speech of Allah, and whenever you want to read the Sunnah of Al-Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, and whenever you want to read the statements of the companions, it's very clear to the child that an iman goes up and down, and that iman is deeds and actions and statements and niyyah. But if you want to be a person who, you want to be a murji'ah, or you want to be a mu'tazila, or you want to be from the asha'ira, then what you have to do is, you have to take the Quran and the Sunnah, and you have to play with it. You have to throw curveballs. Or you leave the Quran and the Sunnah altogether, and you start taking your delil from the books of al-adab, the books of poets, the books of the men of letters. Because when you look in the Quran, this issue is not an issue that you brothers, inshallah, are not going to find any difficulty in understanding, because your minds have not been polluted with deviancy. Concerning this statement, an iman is sayings and actions and niyyah, the explanation of that is simple. The ulama of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, they give a definition of an iman, and everyone has to write this down. It's very short, and it's more important that you understand it. Al iman, or faith, is al qawl bil lisan, to profess with your lips, or profession, professing with the lips. Say la ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah. That's one. Put an A or one next to that. And an iman after that is al-amal bil-jawarih, the working with your body parts, whether it's your hands, whether it's your fingers, whether it's your feet, whether it's your legs, whether it is your tongue, it's working with your body parts. And the third aspect in the definition of al-iman, al-i'tiqad bil-qalb, and it's belief in the heart. The people have different understandings of an iman. Some people say that an iman is belief, period. Some people say that an iman is an ilm, knowledge. Some of these people say that an iman is a ta'ah, being obedient to Allah, doing the things that Allah tells you to do. So these three things that we just said is what al-iman is to Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. And they will help you to understand the statement of Sufyan al-Thawri. First of all, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in an authentic hadith, al-iman bid'u wa sab'un shu'ba adnaha imatatu al-adha 'ala al-tariq wa arfa'uha qawl la ilaha illallah. The Prophet said in this hadith, al-iman, or faith, is 70 branches. The highest branch is, or the lowest branch is, taking something harmful out of the street. Wherever you have the Muslims using a street or a walkway, the lowest branch of al-iman is for a person to take glass or anything harmful out of the street. That's the lowest branch or level. And the highest level is saying la ilaha illallah. This hadith shows us many things. Number one, it shows us that an iman is saying with your tongue, saying la ilaha illallah. If a man does not say la ilaha illallah or the equivalent to that, he does not come into Islam. How does he become a Muslim without pronouncing or professing ashhadu an la ilaha illallah?
even if he was to do the deeds, if he does not make this profession, then his Islam is suspect. So this hadith shows us that the highest form of iman is the statement La ilaha illallah. So that's indicative of the first part of the definition, that iman is making this statement. Also in the hadith, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that iman, the lowest part, is taking something harmful out of the street, that cannot be done except that he goes and he bends down and he grabs it with his hand and he throws it and he makes movement. He doesn't do it with telepathy. He doesn't do it by wishing the thing that's harmful in the street is going to be elevated and pushed out of the way. He actually does a deed where he goes and he puts something out of the street with his hand. So iman is working with your body parts. And lastly, the third part, and iman is an i'tiqad with your heart, believing in your heart. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, من قال لا إله إلا الله مخلصا من قلبه دخل الجنة. Whoever said لا إله إلا الله sincerely from his heart, he will enter into paradise. After knowing this, it's strange for us to find the statements of these different groups. The first group that you brothers have to write about is the Murji'ah. Al-Murji'ah, they come from the word al-irja, which means a ta'khir, to make something prolonged, to put something back. The Murji'ah, they believe, again, as we said before, that if a man simply recognizes that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one and Allah is the Lord and he has no partners, then this man is a mu'min, he's a total believer, his faith is like the faith of Jibreel, his faith is like the faith of Abu Bakr, his faith, whoever believes in that, then your faith is complete and you don't have to do anything to prove your Islam. If you didn't pray, if you made zina, if you smoked crack, if you drank whiskey, if you lost other people's money, whatever you did, you are still considered to be a believer because you recognize the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one. We also have a group called Al-Quraniyah. To spell it however you want to spell it. Al-Quraniyah. K-A-R-R-A-Y. Al-Quraniyah. However you want to spell it. Al-Quraniyah. Now you can spell how you want. K-A-L-K-A-R-R. Spell out whatever you want. Al-Quraniyah. They believe that an iman is simply saying La ilaha illallah. If you say it, whether you believe it or not, you are a believer. Which also doesn't make sense. The people who say that just to say La ilaha illallah, you're a believer. Why doesn't that make sense and why doesn't Islam support that view? But I'm saying from the Quran and the Sunnah, or from the reality of what we live in this dunya, why does not that definition stand up when we put the acid test to it? Does anybody know? No, but I'm saying why? What's the clear evidence and proof against that? Now,
Iblis would be agreed with that.
And there's something other than this, and that is that the munafiqun say La ilaha illallah. That's all they say. They say La ilaha illallah, but they're not Muslims, they're not believers, they don't have iman. But these people were extreme deviants, the Quraniyah, who said if you say La ilaha illallah, khalas, no one can do anything from you, your blood is safe, your money is safe, you're like a mu'min and you don't have to worry about anything. Another group is the group Al-Mu'tazila. Everyone knows about the Mu'tazila. المعتزلة and lastly the Khawarij. The Khawarij, the Khawarij, Al Khawarij. These last two groups of Quran feel that an Iman is doing those things that Allah ordered you to do. Someone may say to me, so what's so important about this? Why did the ulama of the past make a big deal about it? What happens, Ikhwan, is based upon what these people understand, there are ramifications that come as a result of that. For an example, as we said before, the murji'ah. If a person was a murji'i, he would find pleasure in drinking wine and getting high, and he wouldn't have any problem with doing this evil deed, and then getting up in the morning to make salat al-fajr. And you will not be in a position to come to him and to say to him, this is haram, because he says, Iman is one thing, my faith is one thing, and my actions are another thing. As far as the Khawarij are concerned, they say, if the believer does not do what Allah has ordered him to do, then he's not a believer, and he goes out of Islam, and he's a kafir. So then what they'll do is they'll proceed to pronounce takfir on the people based upon their understanding of al-Iman. If you didn't do what Allah Ta'ala ordered you to do, like make salat, like give zakat, make that halal as halal and haram as haram, if you didn't do that, they'll say, since you have no deeds, you have no Iman, you're kafir. And the Khawarij, another deviant, they said that the person who didn't do the deeds, he wasn't a kafir, nor was he a Muslim, but he was suspended in the middle somewhere. And all of this, as you can see, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't come along with the easiness of al-Islam. One of the things of the characteristics of al-Islam is that when you read the Quran and the Sunnah, and you really concentrate on the issues of the Quran and the Sunnah, you don't find that they're difficult to understand. You don't find that they make your face do like this, and they make your heart say, what's going on here? What's the problem? What are they talking about? The message of the Quran and the Sunnah is very, very simple and very, very easy. Now the people say, this is a problem of a long time ago, and people are talking about this. What are we studying it for?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. And alhamdulillahi na'hmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nasta'firuh. ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلوات الله وسلامه عليه أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله تعالى وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة دلالة وكل دلالة في النار. Really, all praises are due to Allah سبحانه وتعالى. We praise Him, we thank Him, and we seek refuge in Allah سبحانه وتعالى from the evil of our souls and from the evil results of our actions. Verily, the one who Allah Ta'ala guides, there is none who can lead him astray. And the one that Allah Ta'ala causes to go astray because of his misunderstandings, because of him following his whims and his desires, there is none who can guide that individual aright. Point number two in the Aqidah of Al-Imam Sufyan al-Thawri rahimahullah Ta'ala as given to Shu'ayb ibn Harb. Al-Imam Sufyan said, وَالْإِمَانْ قَوْلٌ وَعَمَلٌ وَنِيَّةٌ يَزِيدُ وَيَنْقُصُ يَزِيدُ بِالطَّاعَةِ وَيَنْقُصُ بِالْمَعْصِيَةِ وَلَا يَجُوزُ الْقَوْلُ إِلَّا بِالْعَمَلِ وَلَا يَجُوزُ الْقَوْلُ وَالْعَمَلُ إِلَّا بِالنِّيَّةِ وَلَا يَجُوزُ الْقَوْلُ وَالْعَمَلُ وَالنِّيَّةُ إِلَّا بِمُوَافَقَةِ السُّنَّةِ. Al-Imam Sufyan said, the second point is that an iman is action and statement and niyyah or intention. It goes up and it goes down. The iman of the believer goes up and it goes down, it fluctuates. It goes up by him obeying Allah, and it goes down when he disobeys Allah. And it is not permissible to make a statement except that that statement should be accompanied with action. Not permissible to make a statement except that that statement should be accompanied with action. And it's not permissible to make a statement and action except that the statement and action should be accompanied by a niyyah. Not permissible to make a statement and to do an action except that they should be accompanied by the niyyah. And it's not permissible to make the statement and the action and the niyyah except that it is in accordance to the sunnah. We'll start all over from the very beginning. An iman is statement and action and niyyah. It goes up and it goes down. It goes up when the servant obeys Allah, and it goes down when the servant disobeys Allah. And it's not permissible to make a statement except that it should be accompanied by action. And it's not permissible to make a statement and an action except that the statement and the action should be accompanied by the niyyah. And it's not permissible to make a statement and an action and the niyyah except that it should be with the sunnah. Inshallah. And then after saying that, now, inshallah, from the very beginning, an iman is statement and action and niyyah, intention. It goes up and it goes down. The iman goes up and down. It goes up when the servant obeys Allah, and it goes down when the servant disobeys Allah. If the iman, ikhwan, is statements and actions and niyyah, these three things, then he says it's not permissible to say a statement except that it should be accompanied by action. And it's not permissible to say, make the statement and to do the action except that they are accompanied by the niyyah. And it's not permissible to do the statement and the action and the niyyah except that those three things should be according to the sunnah. And we can always go back to the tape, inshallah ta'ala, or to the notebook of our brothers who have written it completely to get what we've missed. After that, Sufyan al-Thawri said, or Shu'ayb said to him, فَقُلْتُ لَهُ يَا أَبَا عَبْدِ اللَّهِ وَمَا مُوَافَقَةُ السُّنَّةِ. After that, after hearing this statement, the point number two, Shu'ayb ibn Harb said, Abu Abdullah, what do you mean by the muwafaqat as-sunnah? What do you mean that it should be according to the sunnah? And then that led him into the third point that we'll do next time, inshallah ta'ala. In explaining this issue, ikhwan, this issue of an iman, what is an iman, and the issue of it going up and down, again, it's another one of those issues that the deviant went off of the path and they went astray concerning it. Because verily, when you want to read the Quran of Allah Ta'ala, the actual speech of Allah, And whenever you want to read the Sunnah of Al-Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, and whenever you want to read the statements of the companions, it's very clear to the child that an iman goes up and down, and that iman is deeds and actions and statements and niyyah. But if you want to be a person who, you want to be a murji'ah, or you want to be a mu'tazila, or you want to be from the asha'ira, then what you have to do is, you have to take the Quran and the Sunnah, and you have to play with it, you have to throw curveballs. Or you leave the Quran and the Sunnah altogether, and you start taking your delil from the books of al-adab, the books of poets, the books of the men of letters. Because when you look in the Quran, this issue is not an issue that you brothers, inshallah, are not going to find any difficulty in understanding, because your minds have not been polluted with deviancy. Concerning this statement, an iman is sayings and actions and niyyah, the explanation of that is simple. The ulama of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, they give a definition of an iman, and everyone has to write this down. It's very short, and it's more important that you understand it. Al iman, or faith, is al qawl bil lisan, to profess with your lips, or profession, professing with the lips. Say la ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah. That's one. Put an A or one next to that. And an iman after that is al-amal bil-jawarih, the working with your body parts, whether it's your hands, whether it's your fingers, whether it's your feet, whether it's your legs, whether it is your tongue, it's working with your body parts. And the third aspect in the definition of al-iman, al-i'tiqad bil-qalb, and it's belief in the heart. The people have different understandings of al-iman. Some people say that al-iman is belief, period. Some people say that al-iman is al-ilm, knowledge. Some of these people say that al-iman is at-ta'ah, being obedient to Allah, doing the things that Allah tells you to do. So these three things that we just said is what al-iman is to Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. And they will help you to understand the statement of Sufyan al-Thawri. First of all, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in an authentic hadith, al-iman bid'u wa sab'una shu'bah, adnaha imatatu al-adha 'ala al-tariq, wa arfa'uha qawl la ilaha illallah. The Prophet said in this hadith, al-iman, or faith, is 70 branches. The highest branch is, or the lowest branch is, taking something harmful out of the street. Wherever you have the Muslims using a street or a walkway, the lowest branch of an iman is for a person to take glass or anything harmful out of the street. That's the lowest branch or level. And the highest level is saying la ilaha illallah. This hadith shows us many things. Number one, it shows us that an iman is saying with your tongue, saying la ilaha illallah. If a man does not say la ilaha illallah, or the equivalent to that, he does not come into Islam. How does he become a Muslim without pronouncing or professing ashadu an la ilaha illallah? Even if he was to do the deeds, he does not make this profession, then his Islam is suspect. So this hadith shows us that the highest form of iman is the statement la ilaha illallah. So that's indicative of the first part of the definition, that iman is making this statement. Also in the hadith, when the Prophet ﷺ said that iman, the lowest part, is taking something harmful out of the street,
That cannot be done except that he goes and he bends down and he grabs it with his hand and he throws and he makes movement. He doesn't do it with telepathy. He doesn't do it by wishing the thing that's harmful in the street is going to be elevated and pushed out of the way. He actually does a deed where he goes and he puts something out of the street with his hand. So Iman is working with your body parts. And lastly, the third part, and Iman is an i'tiqad with your heart, believing in your heart. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, من قال لا إله إلا الله مخلصا من قلبه دخل الجنة. Whoever said لا إله إلا الله sincerely from his heart, he will enter into paradise. After knowing this, it's strange for us to find the statements of these different groups. The first group that you brothers have to write about is the Murji'ah. Al-Murji'ah, they come from the word al-irja, which means a ta'khir, to make something prolonged, to put something back. The Murji'ah, they believe, again as we said before, that if a man simply recognizes that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one and Allah is the Lord and he has no partners, then this man is a mu'min, he's a total believer. His faith is like the faith of Jibreel. His faith is like the faith of Abu Bakr. His faith, whoever believes in that, then your faith is complete. And you don't have to do anything to prove your Islam. If you didn't pray, if you made zina, if you smoked crack, if you drank whiskey, if you lost other people's money, whatever you did, you are still considered to be a believer because you recognize the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one. We also have a group called Al-Quraniya. You can spell it however you want to spell it. Al-Quraniya. Al-Quraniya. K-A-R-R-A-Y. Al-Quraniya. However you want to spell it. Al-Quraniya. Now you can spell how you want. K-A-A-L-K-A-R-R. Spell however you want. Al-Quraniya. They believe that an iman is simply saying La ilaha illallah. If you say it, whether you believe it or not, you are a believer. Which also doesn't make sense. Akhi, the people who say that just to say La ilaha illallah you're a believer, why doesn't that make sense and why doesn't Islam support that view? But I'm saying from the Quran and the Sunnah, or from the reality of what we live in this dunya, why does not that definition stand up when we put the acid test to it? Does anybody know? No, but I'm saying why? What's the clear evidence and proof against that? No.
Iblis would be agree with that.
And there's something other than this, and that is that the munafiqun say La ilaha illallah. That's all they say. They say La ilaha illallah, but they're not Muslims. They're not believers. They don't have Iman. But these people were extreme deviants, the Quraniya, who said if you say La ilaha illallah, khalas, no one can do anything from you. Your blood is safe. Your money is safe. You're like a mu'min and you don't have to worry about anything. Another group is the group Al-Mu'tazila. Everyone knows about the Mu'tazila. Al-Mu'tazila. And lastly, the Khawarij. Al-Khawarij. These last two groups of Khawarij feel that an Iman is doing those things that Allah ordered you to do. Someone may say to me, so what's so important about this? Why does the ulama of the past make a big deal about it? What happens, Ikhwan, is based upon what these people understand, there are ramifications that come as a result of that. For an example, as we said before, the murji'ah. If a person was a murji'i, he would find pleasure in drinking wine and getting high, and he wouldn't have any problem with doing this evil deed, and then getting up in the morning to make salatul fajr. And you will not be in a position to come to him and to say to him, this is haram, because he says, iman is one thing, my faith is one thing, and my actions are another thing. As far as the Khawarij are concerned, they say, if the believer does not do what Allah has ordered him to do, then he's not a believer and he goes out of Islam and he's a kafir. So then what they'll do is they'll proceed to pronounce takfir on the people based upon their understanding of al-Iman. If you didn't do what Allah Ta'ala ordered you to do, like make salah, like give zakat, make that halal was halal and haram was haram, if you didn't do that, they'll say, since you have no deeds, you have no iman, you're kafir. And the Khawarij, another deviant, they said that the person who didn't do the deeds, he wasn't a kafir, nor was he a Muslim, but he was suspended in the middle somewhere. And all of this, as you can see, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't come along with the easiness of al-Islam. One of the things of the characteristics of al-Islam is that when you read the Quran and the Sunnah and you really concentrate on the issues of the Quran and the Sunnah, you don't find that they're difficult to understand. You don't find that they make your face do like this and they make your heart say, what's going on here? What's the problem? What are they talking about? The message of the Quran and the Sunnah is very, very simple and very, very easy. Now the people say, this is a problem of a long time ago and people are talking about this. What are we studying it for? The brother brought this book about Abu Hanifa, and we told you, brothers, that Abu Hanifa was from which school of thought in the issue of Iman? Al-Murji'a. He felt that Iman was something and the deeds was something else. You didn't have to do anything. So this man wants to defend Abu Hanifa, so he says, and listen to this carefully, he says, to begin with, the Imam does not regard duties and actions as part of faith. It is superfluous today to discuss this point, for even a man of common intelligence today knows that faith means belief, which is a state of mind, while duties and actions are overt exercises of the human organs, the two categories being just disparate and incapable of combining or forming part of each other. So the man is saying that the common guy today, the regular Muslim who's not a scholar, today he knows that an iman is a state of mind. It's what you believe in your heart. Whereas the actions are what your body parts are doing. So the iman is one thing and your actions are another thing. So when a person picks up this book and he's a brand new Muslim, and this is a lot of the type of material that is available to brand new Muslims, had it not been, alhamdulillah, for what Al-Hidayah is doing and, you know, this new trend of making sure that things are on the Quran and the Sunnah, this is what we had available when we came into Islam. We had Yusuf Ali, books like this, the Tablighi Jamaat books, and the man reads the book, and he doesn't know this is right or this is wrong. So he picks up this book and he believes, or he is reading, that this is actually putting forth the understanding of the people of the past. So I'm going to read this book. I just wanted to read that point, but it's more than that. And I would advise you, brothers, not to read this book in particular, because the man is astray, and he's calling to that which is astray. As for the good things in the book, alhamdulillah, but for the most part, the aqidah of this man is off, and he's a hanafi muta'assib, the ones who we always say, be careful and stay away from that type of situation. So now, ikhwan, and Imam Sufyan al-Thawri, he told him what an iman was. So when we look at the statement that we just put forth, an iman is qawl, where the person says, La ilaha illallah. It's a statement. and his actions, like taking the thing out of the tariq, like making salah, like giving zakah. An iman is having a niyyah, the good intention. The Prophet ﷺ told us, you gotta get that book to that man. The Prophet ﷺ told us, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّةِ. Verily, the deeds will be judged by the intention. This iman goes up and it goes down. It goes up when the servant obeys Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, and it goes down when he starts to disobey Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Now all of you in your Islam up until this point, many of you brothers who reverted back to Islam, if you've been in Islam for 2, 3, 4 years now, I'm sure you can recall the time when you first came into Islam, you found that you were very, very high. If you had a job and you lost your job, you weren't worried about where the money was coming from because you had iman in Allah, you knew Allah was going to take care of you. When you came into Islam, you felt all the Muslims were like angels and they were doing the right things and you can marry from them and they'll marry you and like this. And then after being in Islam for a while, you start to see that in terms of what we know, things are less than what we know. So we start to feel like our Islam, as individuals, our Islam is not like the Islam from when we first came into Islam. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses the abd. When an individual comes into Islam, Allah makes it easy for him because he has no knowledge, he doesn't know. So Allah ta'ala makes this situation a situation of bliss, even though he's jahil, he's ignorant. Because if he came into Islam and things were very, very difficult, he'll leave Islam. Anybody coming to Islam in Ramadan? I thought you were born Muslim and you remained a Muslim and so forth and so on.
Only been a few months.
Yeah. When a person comes into Islam in Ramadan, he comes into Islam and then the people say to him, you have to fast. If he comes into Islam in Ramadan, you'll find that this may be a fitna for him to stop eating from the time that the Muslims eat. But in spite of that, when he comes into Islam in Ramadan, he will still find that that first Ramadan, more times than not, was easier for him than the Ramadans that came after it, because Allah Ta'ala, out of his hikmah, makes it easy for the man. So now, for a person to come and to say that this iman does not go up and does not go down, he's rejecting the Quran, the Sunnah, and the reality by which he lives. Now I'm going to give you, brother, some ayats and some surahs that you should write down, and you should go back to look at them. These ayahs that show us clearly that the iman of the human being goes up and down. First of all, in Surah Ali Imran. Ali Imran is what surah of the Quran? The third surah of the Quran. Ayah number 173. Allah Ta'ala tells us about an incident in this ayah in which he says, الَّذِينَ قَالَ لَهُمَ النَّاسِ إِنَّ النَّاسِ قَدْ جَمَعُوا لَكُمْ فَخْشَوْهُمْ فَزَادَهُمْ إِيمَانًا وَقَالُوا حَسْبُنَ اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ. Those people, meaning the companions, who the people said unto them, verily all of the people are gathering up against you, to come against you, so be afraid of them. So their iman was increased, and they said, Allah is enough for us and he is a good wakil. This is the translation of the ayah. What happened was, in one of the battles, all of the people, the Ahzab or the Confederates in the Arab Peninsula, all of them decided to come together at one time to go against the Muslims in Medina. So the Prophet ﷺ had the khandaq or the ditch built around 3/4 of Medina. Of course, the mountain of Uhud is behind the backs of the Muslims. So since Uhud is from there to there, the Prophet built a ditch from there all the way to there, 3/4 of Medina. Because they knew, in terms of numbers, they didn't have the ability to go out to meet these people in war. So they built a ditch, and they made it so that if they crossed the ditch, they would only be able to cross in numbers where the Muslims can defeat them. The Muslims can kill them every time they came across the ditch. Before this happened, the Kuffar inside of Medina, from the Arabs and the Munafiqeen, and from the people of the book, the Jews, they said, bring all of the tribes coming together, and they're going to kill you. So the Muslims said, Allah Ta'ala said, when they heard this, it increased their iman, and they said, Allah is enough of the wakil for us. The Prophet said in Sahih Bukhari that our Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam said the same thing. Hasbi Allah wa ni'mal wakil. When did Ibrahim say that?
When
they threw him in the fire. This was the statement of Ibrahim. So now, the point is, this ayat clearly shows us, according to the Quran, that the iman can be increased, because when the Muslims heard that statement, their iman was increased, as Allah said in the Quran. So now it's not befitting for anyone after that to come now and say the iman doesn't go up. The next ayat.
I think it's 173.
What did I say? I said 173.
Yes.
Now, the next surah is Surah Al-Anfal. Al-Anfal. Al-Anfal is what number? Number 8. Surah number 8 of the Quran, ayat number 2. The spoils of war. Surah Al-Anfal. Allah Ta'ala tells us in this surah, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا ذُكِرَ اللَّهِ وَجِلَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ وَإِذَا تُلِيَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُهُ زَادَتْهُمْ إِيمَانًا وَعَلَى رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ. Allah tells us in describing the believers, those who have iman and those who believe in Allah, He said, verily the believers are those, when Allah is mentioned, their hearts become frightened, and if His signs are rehearsed unto them, their iman is increased, and they depend on Allah. There's no ayah clearer than that. This issue is very clear, and alhamdulillah, you brothers don't have any problems with it, especially when Allah says it. Now, Surah number 8, ayat number 2. Surah number 8 of Surah Al-Anfal. Allah says in the surah, verily the believers are those who, if Allah is mentioned, their hearts become frightened, and if His signs are rehearsed unto them, if the Quran is read, then their iman is increased, and they depend on their Lord. The next proof to show that the iman goes up and down is in Surah At-Tawbah. Surah At-Tawbah is the 9th surah of the Quran, ayat 124. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذَا مَا أُنزِلَتْ سُورَةٌ فَالْهُمَنْ يَقُولُ أَيُّكُمْ زَادَتْهُ هَذِهِ إِيمَانًا فَأَمَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا فَزَادَتْهُمْ إِيمَانًا وَهُمْ يَسْتَبْشِرُونَ. Allah ta'ala says in this ayah, and if a particular surah is revealed, those kuffar and munafiqeen, they say, whose iman has been increased by this ayah? Whose iman has been increased by this surah? Making mockery. Allah Ta'ala says, as for those who believe, their iman has been increased and they accept the good news. The next proof is Surah Al-Ahzab. Surah Al-Ahzab is what surah? Now, Surah 33, ayat number 22, where Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala tells us, وَلَمَّا رَأُوا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الْأَحْزَابِ قَالُوا هَذَا مَا وَعَدَنَا اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ وَصَدَقَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ وَمَا زَادَهُمْ إِلَّا إِيمَانًا وَتَسْلِيمًا. Allah Ta'ala tells us in the surah that you brothers, inshallah, can go back and look in your own Quran at a time that's convenient for you. And when the believers saw the Confederates or the Ahzab in the war that we just told you about, they said, verily this is what Allah and His Messenger promised us, and Allah and His Messenger have spoken the truth, and it did not increase them except in iman and in submission. So these are four of the many ayahs from the Quran that tell us about the iman of the person being able to increase and being able to decrease. Now, Ikhwan, we want to ask this question, and we want you brothers to write and to answer. In terms of the iman going up and down, many of us, for the most part, are in a situation where more times than not, our iman is going down. More times than not, we feel low. We don't feel that we're in the mood or position that anything that happens to us today, we're in a position to deal with it because our iman is high. So the question to you now is, what are those things that we can do to make our iman increase according to the Quran and the Sunnah? What are the things that we can do to make our iman increase according to the Quran and the Sunnah? Nasr al-Din. The zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do you have a proof for that, Nasr al-Din? No, it's okay. You don't have to say it in English. I mean, you can even tell me something that we all would agree to.
Reading the Quran. The iman is worth to read the Quran.
Now, that's number one. Write this down. Ways to increase the iman. Number one, the recitation of the Quran. But the thing concerning the recitation of the Quran, Ikhwan, is that we don't want to read the Quran just for the sake of reading the Quran. But we want to read the Quran with contemplation. We want to read the Quran with understanding. Right now, all of us read the Quran, alhamdulillah, to some extent, some more than others. But how many of us read the Quran with contemplation? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran encourages us to read the Quran with contemplation in so many ayats of the Quran. For an example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنِ وَلَوْ كَانَ مِنْ عِنْدِ غَيْرِ اللَّهِ لَوَجَدُوا فِي اخْتِلَافٍ كَثِيرًا. Will they not contemplate the Quran? Not just read it. Would they not contemplate the Quran? For verily, if it has been from other than Allah, it would have been in it much discrepancy. There would have been in the Quran much ikhtilaf. So we want to read the Quran. And we want to stop this trend that's been going on since we find all of these books that are being translated, books that depend upon what's authentic, and this is a good thing. But now it seems like the brothers are placing more emphasis upon this hadith is authentic and this hadith is fabricated more than they place emphasis on memorizing the Quran. So the person who's been in Al-Islam for 2 years and up, he should have memorized Juz Amma by now. If he's been in Islam for 2 years and up, he should have memorized Juz Amma by now. Because even though you're a new Muslim, and even though you may not know Arabic, this is taken into consideration, you are like the child who also doesn't understand a lot, but he still has the capacity to be sent to the masjid or to a sheikh or a hafiz of the Quran. He has the capacity to sit and hear and to memorize without even reading, without the ability to read. Your child who's 4 or 5, you should start memorizing at that age. When he goes to the masjid or the sheikh, he cannot pick up the Quran and read it like this. Now, from listening to what you say to him, he picks it up like that. No doubt his mind is clear because he doesn't have the problems that you have. But what is our excuse? Because after this 2 year period, if we look at ourselves, we'll find that we wasted a lot more time on things than other than the Quran. So there is really no excuse, except if the brother has a learning disability. And inshallah, that's not the case. So if you've been in Islam for 2 years and you've been trying to practice Islam, by now you should have memorized Juz Amma. So what happens, Ikhwan, is in the lesson that we're doing now, the lesson could be appreciated more if people knew something of the Quran. But because we, the brothers, are generally people who don't memorize, We don't memorize. It's not a part of our minhaj. It's not a part of our Islam. We don't memorize. There's not a desire that a brother has to say, by the end of this month, I want to memorize Surah Al-Qaf that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam always read on Friday. I want to memorize Surah Al-Sajda. I want to memorize Surah Al-Nuh so I can have this adilla to know how to give da'wah. I want to memorize this or that. We don't have this. If you were to ask, ikhwan, in any particular setting, a group of so-called Salafi people, ikhwan, give me 5 hadith from the Messenger of Allah in Arabic. 5 hadith. Sometimes a hadith consists of no more than 5 or 6 words. No more than 5 or 6 words. You can be in the masjid of 40, 50 people, wallahi, they can't bring you 5 hadith. They can't bring you 5 hadith. We showed you, ikhwan, again, that we need to be careful about walking around on this earth with our chest put out like this, looking at everybody like, I'm holier than you are. Because wallahi, we fall short of the mark. We're not really on the threshold of being students of knowledge. So the issue is serious. So I advise you, brothers, everyone, to get you a small Quran, those of you who can read Arabic, to get you a small Quran and start to try to live with Allah's book. Start trying to memorize the Quran. The Quran that Allah Ta'ala said, He made it easy to be memorized. When Allah sees His servant opening up the Quran and he's finding difficulty in doing it, Allah Ta'ala blesses you twofold and He makes it easier for you. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us in the authentic hadith, الَّذِي يَقْرَى الْقُرْآنُ وَهُوَ مَاحِرُ بِهِ مَعَ السَّفْرَةِ الْكَرَامِ الْبَرَرَةِ وَالَّذِي يَقْرَى الْقُرْآنُ وَهُوَ يَتَتَعْتَعُ فِيهِ وَهُوَ عَلَيْهِ شَاقٍ فَلَهُ أَجْرَانِ. This hadith is in Sahih Muslim on the authority of our mother Aisha. The Prophet ﷺ said, whoever reads the Qur'an, and he is an expert in the recitation of the Qur'an. You know these tips that you hear? Al-Husari, Abdul Basit, Al-Hudayfi from Medina, Al-Shurayn, all of these tapes, these people are experts with the Quran. Whoever reads it like that, he will be raised almost Qiyamah in the company of the angels. And whoever reads the Quran and he finds difficulty reading it, and he stutters while he's reading, he doesn't know Arabic, so he stutters while he's reading and it's difficult, he'll get a double reward. So Shaitan, he rips one of us off by making you think, I don't know Arabic, so I can't memorize the Quran. That's number one concerning the Quran. Number two, ikhwan, the Quran can't be memorized by that transliteration. So if you're trying to memorize by that transliteration where they spell out Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, A-L/H-A-M, you're not going to pronounce the letters right. So you have to, if this is your situation, sit with someone so that he can correct what you're saying, because you're going to make a lot of mistakes. So now I reiterate, if you've been in Islam for 2 years, then your understanding of the da'wah to Salafiyah in this aspect falls short of the mark. And you should be embarrassed that you haven't memorized Juz Amma. The Juz Amma, the last 30th part of the Quran, where little children in the Muslim countries memorize, and they walk around with it in their heads and in their hearts, and they don't understand what it's saying. But verily, whoever can memorize it will have a lot of delil from it. Number two, what is another thing that can cause our iman to increase? Ahmed.
Read hadith more than just one time.
Number two, reading about the sunnah and the seerah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. Reading about the sunnah and the seerah or the history of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah Ta'ala tells us in the Quran about the stories that He gives to us in Surah to Yusuf. He tells us about what happened to Yusuf, what took place between his brothers, how they finally came to Egypt, and Yusuf was in a place of authority and respect. And then after that, he tells us the stories of some more Anbiya prophets and their stories. Throughout the Quran, Allah is telling us about the people who went before us. And this is one of the reasons why. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us that Surah Al-Ikhlas, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ تَعْدَلْ Surah Al-Quran, it equals a third of the Quran. One of the reasons of the interpretations of that hadith is that the Quran is made up of three things. Number one, the Quran is going to tell you about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His description. What Allah does and what He doesn't do. What are His names and what are His characteristics. Allah is powerful, Allah is all knowledgeable, Allah is over His throne, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all seeing, all hearing. Throughout the Quran you're going to get this message. The second message is you're going to get the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala telling us what happened to the people before. The history of the people who went before. These people did that, and these people did this, and as a result of that, they're going to be here, and these ones are going to be here. And thirdly, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran about the reward. What's going